Austin, our thurifer this evening, was giving me a quote from the saint of today, Saint Maximilian Kolbe, who was had a great devotion to the Blessed Mary, the Blessed Virgin. And he said at one point in one of his writings, he said, "Don't be afraid to love the Blessed Mother too much. You can't love her more than Jesus did. You can't love her more than Jesus did." And that's a beautiful quote and reminder of the intimacy of mother and son for all of us, right? But to have a love without sin, the beauty of that love is hard to imagine, let alone to surpass. So I want to look at just briefly at each of our readings through that lens of Mary as, and especially the Old Testament readings here, Mary as the Ark of the Covenant. That's what that first reading is talking about from the Book of Chronicles. It's David, newly crowned king of Israel, bringing the Ark, which was in the hill country outside of Jerusalem, in the tent of meeting, bringing it into his new capital. He wanted the Ark to be with him in Jerusalem. Jerusalem sometimes is called Mount Zion. It's one of the highest places in the Holy Land, in the country of Israel. You always go up to Jerusalem, both physically, whether you're coming from the south or the east or the west or the north, but also spiritually, you go up to Jerusalem. And so David assembled, and it's powerful here in Chronicles as well, because it reminds us that David was a man of God. He was a man after God's own heart, and he was very much into following the law of the Lord, you know. And the law of the Lord called for the tribe of Levi to be the priestly tribe and to serve at the altar and to serve the ark. And so David is mindful of that, and so he calls all the sons of Aaron, all the Levites together, and he arranges them in their orders and has them carry the ark on the poles. That's how they were supposed to transport it. And he arranges them with instruments and with singing. So we get a real sense here of the liturgy, the Old Testament liturgy of bringing the ark into up to Zion, up to Jerusalem, to the holy place, and the offering sacrifices in the middle of all that, making a loud sound of rejoicing. And as Christians, we read this and say, you know, I'm going to put that together with our responsorial psalm, "Lord, go up to the place of your rest, you in the ark of your holiness." Go up, right? Up to Jerusalem, up to Mount Zion. But as Christians, we read that and we say, "Lord, the Lord is Jesus. Jesus Christ is Lord." And when did he go up? Well, to the cross, but after the cross and after the resurrection, he went up in the ascension to the throne of heaven. And the great cry of the psalm is not just, "Lord, you go up to your place of rest. You go up in the ascension to heaven," but "you and the ark of your holiness." Sometimes that's translated, "you and the ark of your strength." The ark, we Christians, we hear the ark and we say, "Ah, that's the Blessed Mother. She was the ark of the holiness of God. She was the dwelling place of Jesus, the Lord." Lord, you go up and your ark goes with you. Wherever you go, the ark goes with you. And so it's a beautiful reminder that Jesus ascended into heaven, but he did not want to be there alone. He wanted his mother, his dwelling place, to come and be with him as well. And so as soon as she was ready, he kind of left her to be with the church, to be mother of the church for a time there on earth. And then when she was ready, to bring her up to be with him in heaven. Still, mother of the church, but now from his throne room in heaven. So it's a beautiful reminder there that we too are called to be the dwelling place of God. Where Mary has gone, what Mary was, that is what you and I are called to be. We're called to be his dwelling place. In baptism, we became his dwelling place. And we may not be the ark of holiness that she was and is, but that's where we're called to. And so we don't give up. Today is a great feast of hope in that regard. Where what Mary became, we hope to become. Where Mary has gone, we hope to follow. In that second reading, St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? In the first place, that's talking about the resurrection of Jesus, when he conquered over death and put the suffering of the cross to flight. But it also refers to the assumption of the Blessed Mother. Death has been swallowed up in that victory as well. Don't ever forget, we talk about, it's kind of a theological statement, right? The ascension is Jesus ascending into heaven by his own glory and power. He's human and divine. Assumption, that we use that title very intentionally because it's by the Lord's power. She's assumed. He pulls her up after him into glory. He can pull us up as well. And his grip, his pull, is much greater than any earthly powers or evil powers. So death, where is your victory? It's swallowed up not only in the resurrection and the ascension, but also swallowed up in the assumption. And that gospel, very short, right? We don't need anything more. The blessing is not, sometimes people can get hung up, even we can get hung up maybe on, you know, gosh, Mary, she was the mother of Jesus. That's what a gift. That's so great for her. That's a physical blessing. It was a great physical blessing. But Jesus says, what's more blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. That's something that you and I can do. Now, Mary, as the Gospel of Luke shows over and over again, Mary certainly heard the word of God. Sometimes it's, you know, when that scene of the angel Gabriel coming and announcing to her, you know, the Lord calls you to be the mother of his son, we say that Mary conceived through her ears. Through listening to the word came in and she received that word and conceived in her womb. And so you and I too can conceive through hearing. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it, keep it. Well, that word becomes fruitful within us in our acting and living and doing. So we have to let this be a beautiful feast of hope and glory. It's like, one of our own, our race, the fairest member of our race, right? But it's not just about Mary. It's about Mary as a sign of hope to us, an image for us to become the ever more fitting dwelling place of God, the temple of God, to be the place where death is conquered again, and to be the place where we conceive through hearing and through observing and keeping. So today, let's grow in our devotion to Mary. Whether that's the rosary, it's a beautiful way to grow in meditating. You know, Mary and Jesus are together in the rosary, right? We're praying the Hail Mary, but we're meditating upon the life and deeds of Christ and some of Mary as well. They're together there, just as they are always together on earth and in heaven. So it's a beautiful way to grow in devotion to Mary, just as Jesus had devotion to his mother. So let's grow in our love for her as Jesus loved her.